especially touching thing that Ronnie Hill said today after the service was that now he said, I have a new daughter and a new sister. And in a lot of figurative ways, that was true, and I thought very touching. So we are happy and grateful for the birth of one into the kingdom of God. You know, we always rejoice when people are born into our families. We are always excited about that, and we are always thankful for that. But I wonder what is our scale of appreciation and our scale of exaltation when one is born into the family of God. Certainly we can be no less happy and have a greater joy, yet though a different joy, at the same time. So we're thankful for that. And tonight I want to talk to you about that subject, which is really not a very pleasant one. And that is some people that God says are a curse. Now I want you to understand, please, that if I had my way about it, that perhaps I would say that this is not really the thing that you'll want to do, and that is, you'll not want to talk about people that are accursed. And there are those in the Church of the Lord sometimes who say that it is not proper to talk about and to condemn other people. And to say that there are some who are accursed makes you to be a judge. It makes you to be a jury. It makes you to be an executioner. And so for people in the churches of Christ to get up and to say just who is accursed, well, they say that's typical of those in the Church of the Lord. That's typical of those in the Church of Christ. That is typical of preachers of the Lord's Church, that they are just always condemning everybody and running everybody else down. But I want you to notice the premise of our study tonight. We're talking about people that God says are accursed. We're not going to talk about folks that are accursed because the church says they are. We're not going to talk about people that are accursed because we think they ought to be. We're not going to talk about people that are accursed because the elders have established policy at this church and they say such people are accursed. No, those things are not our guidelines. We're going to talk about tonight very certainly and very surely some people that are definitely accursed. Now, do you know what it means to be accursed? It means to be cut off. It means to be under a condemnation. That is to be accursed. And so we're going to talk about those that are cut off from God's favor. Some people that are in condemnation of God's judgment. Yes, we're going to talk about certain ones, and we're going to specify certain people that God says are cut off from His fellowship and His favor, and some people that God says are condemned or accursed. But understand, please, that it is not our designation. It is not our appointment. Please understand that. Notice with me then, just very plainly to introduce our study, a passage along this very line. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is closing the letter to the Corinthians, and he has discussed a number of problems, and the Church of the Lord had problems even back yonder. It had problems back then. And the Apostle said in verse 13, he said, watch ye, 1 Corinthians 16, the last chapter in 1 Corinthians 16. He says in verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye, or behave you like men, be strong. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. And somebody said, now see, Larry, that's what you all ought to be doing. You ought to be doing everything with love and not condemning anybody, not telling us who is accursed and who is not. Well, here's the point, please, and get it. In the very context, in verse 14, where Paul says to let everything be done with love, just about 8 verses later, in verse 22, he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Now, what does that mean? That is accursed or cut off. And so he calls upon the coming of the Lord at the same time, but says, let those that love not the Lord Jesus Christ be anathema. That is, be accursed. Some translations will say accursed there. Does someone have by any... Frank, your translation says?
Has accursed.
All right. And so the King James says anathema. And that is to be accursed. All right. I knew that was so. Now, here's the point, please. That God says you do everything with love, and yet the same writer in the same book says, just a few verses later, if a man doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. That is, let him be cut off and let him be condemned. You say, but Larry, if you say that there are people that are accursed, and if you condemn people like that, you're not showing love. Well, did the Holy Spirit show love when he did the very thing in the Bible? When he said, do everything with love in verse 14, and then 8 verses later said, if you don't love the Lord, let him be accursed. You see the point? And so we can do things, we can preach the gospel in love, and still, ladies and gentlemen, show who it is that God says are accursed. Well, you say, obviously, we agree, if a man doesn't love the Lord, he is accursed. But what does it mean to love the Lord? We talked about this to some extent last Sunday. But just who is it that loves God? Now, today, many people just think if you have any concept at all of the existence of God, if you believe in the reality and the actuality of God, then you love Him. That is the concept. The idea is that if you believe that there is a supreme power, a supreme being, then that automatically qualifies you, and thus you are an accepted individual. But what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are cut off, anathema, condemned. Well, who is it that loves Him? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John. Maybe Jesus can tell us. Do you think Jesus knows who it is that loves Him? All right, in John chapter 14 and in verse 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. All right, now then, let me just reverse John 14, 15. You see what it says, do you not? If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, let's just turn that around. If you do not love me, you will not. What? You see it? If you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments, right? See how that reverses? Now, if you do love me, keep my commandments. If you don't love me, then you won't keep my commandments. Now, when Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he's thus talking about one who won't obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look in John 14, in verse 21. Verse 21, just jump down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him and will manifest myself unto him. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now then, do you see that, folks? Who is it that loves God? Now somebody may say, well, I think we need to love God, but we don't need to talk about commandment keeping. Rather, instead of talking about commands all of the time, we need to talk about love. We need to talk about love and not about commands. But what does the Bible say? The book of God says, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commands. Now I want you to get to two passages. You can lose those that we have just noted. I want you to go to Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 7. And I want you to put a finger at each place. And I want you to make a notation here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And also Galatians chapter 5. Okay? Now you get those passages open. And let us see now, remember, who is it that is accursed? He that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cut off. Let him be anathema.
All right, are you there, please? I look first at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19. Now, Paul says, remember this first part of the passage. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile doesn't make any difference. All right, what really matters, 1 Corinthians 7:19, what really truly matters, those things are nothing, but what matters, Paul, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Now hold your finger there and flip over to Galatians 5 and verse 6. You say, but Larry, I think we ought to stress love. All right, now remember, Paul has said circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, keeping of the commandments of God, that's everything. All right, look at Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, verse 6, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, friends, watch it, please. Faith which worketh by love, flip back over to 7:19, is equivalent to the keeping of the commandments of God. You say, but Larry, I think in faith we ought to love the Lord. Yes, but what does that mean? What does it mean for me, by faith, to love the Lord? It means that I am going to keep the commands of God. Do you see those parallel passages? They say one and the same thing, don't they? Just flip back and forth. Now, friends, let me just put the other twist on this. The people that are accursed are those that love not the Lord. But what's the opposite of it? Those who are approved. Those who are approved are those who do the opposite. Couldn't we say that? That if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he is accursed. But if a man loves the Lord Jesus Christ, what does Jesus say? Jesus said, if a man love me, he says, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, that man will have our fellowship. That man will have our approval. That man will have our love. Well, that's what the book of God teaches. But then further, let us notice that the book of God tells us that there are some other folks that are to be accursed. Not only 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 20, but the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, some other people that are to be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 and 8 and through on verse 9. Let's notice some other people that are to be accursed. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now notice it, please, that the great apostle did not stop one time and say that if you preach another gospel, you are accursed. But twice in that same passage, he said it twice, verse 8 and in verse 9. Let him be cut off. Let him be condemned. Now understand, please, what is the pivot point of our study? We're talking about people that God says are accursed. We're not pronouncing the judgment or the curse, if you will, of the Church of Christ. We're talking about people God says are accursed. And God says that they who are accursed, who preach any other gospel unto you than that which the apostles have preached. Paul said, if a man preaches something that I haven't preached, let that man be accursed. You say, oh, the Church of Christ, Larry, you just always running down folks. No, who said this? Who was it that said, if a man doesn't love the Lord, let him be accursed? Who was it that said, if a man preaches anything else, let him be accursed, and said it twice? Who said that? Is that in our creed book? No.
No, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? That's what the book of God says. Now, sometimes I've heard this argument, and by the way, I've heard this argument from members of the Church of Christ. Within the past couple of weeks, I have received information that has come to me, and the argument has been made to me, Larry, I understand that if you preach another gospel, you are accursed. And say, I believe that. But you know what they say? They said, Larry, Paul's point there is on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the only thing that you can't go contrary to, is death, burial, and resurrection. Now, if you preach something other than the death, burial, and resurrection, you're accursed. But now, if you preach something that differs about the organization of the church or the worship of the church, instrumental music, or if you're preaching something about sprinkling for baptism, now that's not what Paul was talking about. All Paul was talking about there was just the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, if a man preaches the death, burial, and resurrection, he won't be cut off. You see what that does? That allows us to have fellowship with every Methodist, every Baptist, every Presbyterian, every Lutheran. Because don't they all preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Don't they? All right. If that's what this passage is limited to, then we're all associates. But just what does Galatians 1 refer to? Does it just refer to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Just that and no more. Look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, there were some people who were trying to bind circumcision, the Jewish rite, stay with me on this, the Jewish practice of circumcision. They were trying to bind circumcision upon the people of God. And the Apostle Paul talks about their opposition. And he says that Titus, in verse 3 of Galatians 2, he said, neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, he wasn't forced or compelled to be circumcised. Now there were certain brethren that privately, secretly, brought in unawares, and they came to spy out our liberty, and they came to make and to bind circumcision, is the thought. They came to bind circumcision upon us, that they might bring us into bondage. But look at verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Now why, Paul? Why did you not allow those who taught the binding of circumcision? Why did you not force Titus to be circumcised? And why did you not give them place even for an hour for their practice? Why? Verse 5, last line. That, he says, the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, friends, circumcision involves more than the death, burial, and resurrection, doesn't it? You see, when they taught error, binding circumcision upon members of the church for salvation, when they taught that, that was contrary to the truth of the gospel. So the truth of the gospel includes more than the death, burial, and resurrection, doesn't it? But then further, that the gospel includes more than the death, burial, and resurrection. Now get the point. Who is accursed? Well, in Galatians 1 and verses 8 and 9, God says, those people are accursed who preach any other gospel. Well, people say the gospel is simply the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's all the gospel is. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so if a man agrees with that, it doesn't matter what he says about sprinkling water on little babies. It doesn't matter what he says about our worship, counting of beads, burning of incense. None of that matters. Just so long as he's right about these essential facts. No, friends, look in Galatians 2 again.
In verse 11, the Bible tells us of the Apostle Peter. And Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face." Paul said, "I confronted him." And it was a public thing. Well, why, Paul, did you do that? Because he was to be blamed. Now, some translations say, because he stood condemned. Down a little bit later. But at any rate, let's keep reading. Verse 12. "For before that certain came from James," that is, came from the Jews in Jerusalem, James, "Peter did eat with the Gentiles." He ate with the Gentiles, he being a Jew, Peter being a Jew, ate with the Gentiles. "But when those Jewish brethren from James came down, he withdrew and separated himself." Why did he do that? "Fearing them which were of the circumcision." You see, the Jewish brethren, who are called the circumcision, were very prejudiced against the Gentiles. And they did not think that a fellow Jew ought to have anything to do with a Gentile, ought not to be associated with him. Now, before those Jewish brethren came down, why, Peter had dinner with the Gentile brethren. But when those Jews came down, his fellow Jews came down, well, he quit eating dinner with them. See what I'm saying? He quit going shopping with them. He cut himself off from them. And verse 13 says, the result was, the other Jews dissembled, that is, they were hypocritical, they dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, or, that is, their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy. Now, here was hypocrisy involved. You see, he ate with the Gentiles. He ate with the Gentiles. But when the Jews came down, he feared them and their prejudice, so he wouldn't be seen eating with them. And when Peter did that, Peter was a man of influence. And when Peter did it, what do you think? How do you think that affected other people? If Peter did it. Well, see, others, Barnabas too began to quit eating with the Gentiles. You know what Paul did in verse 14? Paul said, "When I saw that they walk not uprightly," watch this, "walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." Now, friend, once again, underline that expression, the truth of the gospel. It's in verse 5 and it's in verse 14. The truth of what? The truth of the gospel. And Peter stood condemned. Peter was to be blamed. And Peter didn't stand in the truth of the gospel. On what matter? On the matter of whether or not a Jew could eat with a Gentile that hadn't been circumcised. Now, friend, that includes more then than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, doesn't it? See my point? And so today, when we say people who sprinkle water on little babies and are members of churches you can't read about in the Bible, I can't read about a Methodist church in the Bible. I can't read about a Presbyterian church in the Bible. I can't read about sprinkling water on little babies in the Bible. You say, "Well, Larry, that's not gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection." Well, friend, did you know in the first century that if you were prejudiced as a Jewish Christian who had been converted, but still you wouldn't eat with a Gentile brother who had been converted, did you know if you showed that hypocrisy and wouldn't eat with that brother, that was not walking uprightly according to the gospel? You see, that issue involved the gospel. And if a man preaches anything contrary to the gospel, what does God say let him be? Just let him be accursed. Well, if a man preaches the gospel, what is he? If a man preaches the gospel, what is he? He's approved, isn't he? He's approved. If he preaches the gospel, he's approved.
If he doesn't preach the gospel, he is accursed. Who said so? Who said so? God said so. Now, don't you be intimidated by people out in the world and people at work who are going to say, well, those narrow-minded people in the Church of Christ, they just curse everybody. They condemn everybody. They send everybody to hell but them. No, friend, we didn't make this rule up. We didn't write this. Let me show you somebody else that's accursed. In Joshua 6 and verse 18, we find some people that are accursed. Joshua 6 and verse 18. It says that those who violate Joshua 6, verse 18, those who violate the commands of God are accursed. Now, when God, you remember the old song, and you young children remember it? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Won't be very long till our vacation Bible school. Brother Thompson will be here, Lord willing. And we'll sing about Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Well, in Joshua 6, when God was giving them the city of Jericho, verse 18, God said, when you take that city, verse 17, he said, I want you to save Rahab. You know, she's helped the spies. I want you to save her. But in verse 18, and ye in any wise, under every condition, he said, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. Now, what God said was, when you come into that town, you're not to take any gold, any silver. It is all to go into the treasury of the Lord. I don't want you taking any loot from that city. I don't want you taking anything. You're not to pick up a penny on the ground. Keep it for yourself. Whatever you find, it belongs under the treasury of the Lord. And if, verse 18 of Joshua 6, if you violate that, you will be accursed. Well, maybe you know the story. But Achan was a man who took of the gold. And the Bible says, in Joshua 7, that Achan in verse 21, verse 20, 21, said, yep, I've sinned. He said, I saw a very valuable piece of clothing, verse 21, very royal garment. And he said, you know, I saw a wedge of gold. And he said, I saw 200 shekels of silver. And I hid them in the safe in my house, the middle of my tent. Safe in my house, we'd say today. So the Bible says those that violate God's laws are accursed. Now I want you to think about this. This is a negative aspect. Let's deal with a positive aspect. What about those, rather, who are approved? Let me read to you about those. Turn to Philippians 1. Paul wrote a lovely letter to the brethren at Philippi. And I wonder if he could write a letter to put a little bit like this. Hear this, brethren. It'll refresh your spirit. Philippians 1 and verse 3. Think about this practical language. Paul said, I thank my God upon every... I'm in verse 3. Philippians 1. He said, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet, that is fitting, suitable, for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart.
inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers of my grace. People talk about today being partakers of grace, and they get a kind of real goosebump feeling, and they talk about, you know, some dark streak from heaven that fall down, or some bright flash of lightning fall down and strike their soul, make the hair of their head stand up on end. No, Paul talked about those that were partakers of his grace in what sense? Inasmuch, middle of verse 7, inasmuch as both in my bonds, that is, my imprisonment for the sake of Christ, and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you're partakers of my grace. They had shared in his suffering, and so were partakers of his comfort, the comfort of the Lord in standing for truth. Now those folks are approved. Those folks are approved. Rather than one who violates the commandment and is accursed. Let's read some more of those that are approved. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved also, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that's the real test of a church. That's a real test of you. I want to tell you today. Did you know tonight it is easier for you to be a Christian? The real test is going to be tomorrow when you get in gym class and somebody bumps you. When somebody makes fun of you tomorrow. When somebody asks you, did you see that play in the Super Bowl just before halftime? You say, no, I didn't see it. Where were you? Oh, I was at church. Church? Well, I mean, it's all right Sunday morning, but Sunday night? What were you doing at church Sunday night? It was the Super Bowl. You got religion or something? Now, how are you going to react when they start that tomorrow? You didn't see the Super Bowl. How are you going to stand then? Are you going to violate God's commandments to them in your heart with anger, angry words? The Bible said those who violate His commands, they're the ones that are accursed. Finally, the last group of those that are accursed are those that have fellowship with that man in his sin. Look at Joshua 6 again in verse 18. He says, and ye in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and read this, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now he says, this is a national commandment. This is a corporate commandment. And one pervert, all perverted. In Joshua 7, the book of God says in verse 11, Israel hath sinned. They have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why couldn't they stand? Why did they flee, verse 12, before their enemies? Because they were accursed. They were accursed. And verse 15 says, it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, watch this, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. I want to tell you something, brethren. A person is accursed according to the book of Joshua when he participates in the sin of those that transgress. And how dangerous a thing is it for a man to start a faction, to to start a group in a congregation and to splinter the church and to try to cause a division in this congregation. And I appreciated the prayer today that said we appreciate and we're thankful for the peace we have in this church, the unity we have in this church. And I do thank God for it. And I think you ought to thank God for it every day. You don't know what a joy and a blessing it is to have peace in this church. It is such a blessing. The old devil doesn't like it, brethren. And he'll try to stir us up. And he'll try to cause us to be divided and to be at odds with one another. Let's don't let that happen. But that wasn't my point. I want you to just think about now this division, this cursing that comes, and we're not approved when we partake of it. Somebody's going to come in and try to divide us. And I want you to see the ugliness, how that affects. You might not have a part in it, but somebody that comes in and tries to stir up a stink, somebody that comes in and starts gossiping and whispering and starts a little party, a little undercurrent, a little undermining, whispering campaign, might be against the elders, might be against one of the members, might be against this one or that one, might be some jealousy, some envy. You know that'll affect everybody. It'll hurt everybody. Everybody will be hurt by it. But brethren, let's not be like that. Turn to 3 John. Let me show you what I expect of you, brethren, and what I come to believe about this church. This is the good. This is the pure. This is the powerful. This is the attractive. And this are those that are approved. 3 John. You know what John said? John said, in verse 3 of 3 John, verse 3, I rejoiced greatly, he said, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. A lot of folks think that the truth is in them. They just think truth is in them, but how they live doesn't matter. Listen to me. Truth is in you as you walk in the truth. Now you may say, oh, I believe all the right things. And I know all the right things, and I accept all the right doctrines. That's good, but that's only part of it. You have got to walk in that truth. You've got to live in that truth with the right attitude. So John says, I rejoiced. They came and testified of the truth that's in thee. How was that truth demonstrated? How was that truth manifested? Even as thou walkest in the truth. You lived in it. John said, listen, I have, verse 4, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear that. And there is no greater joy. Beloved, he said, listen to the approval. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren, to strangers, which have borne witness. Is this talking about Pruitt and Lovett? Which have borne witness of thy love, thy charity, before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. So here were preachers that were sacrificing, and they went forth, and they took nothing from those they were trying to convert. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Do you hear that? So when men come, whether it's Douglas Hill, whom we've helped before, whether it's Dennis Scroggins or others that love the truth, that are going into foreign places and foreign lands, and maybe we could only help as Bobby Holmes we helped. This church helped, the elders did, and this church did. My brethren, the Bible says when we receive such, we're fellow helpers to the truth. Those are the people that God approves. But the Bible says in Joshua that if you participate in those that violate God's commands and you go with them, in their splinter, in their splitting, in their division, in their ungodly attitude, in their violation of the commandments of God, God says, you are accursed. Now, brethren, it's before us today to be accursed or to be approved. You can know every right answer. You can know every right doctrine. You can fill out the blanks just perfectly and give the right answer and give the right scripture. But if you're participating with those whose attitude is amiss, whose heart is dirty, whose passions are sinful, who are filled with envy and malice and gossip and innuendo and defeatism and discouragement and trying to drag down and draw down others. And if you participate in that kind of a thing, the Bible says in the book of Joshua, if you go along with it, you too are accursed. There's no doubt about it. You may not start it, but you may not instigate it. But if you fuel it and you countenance it, you are accursed. God said so. You can't do that. You can't afford to do it. You'll be accursed. But if you're a fellow helper to the truth, you'll be approved. So let's be that tonight. God says certain ones are condemned. Certain ones are cut off. Those that don't love the Lord, those that preach another gospel, those that violate the plain commands of God, and those that go along with those that do, those that fellowship and go along with those that do so, are accursed. God said so. And I trust there's no one here tonight that is of that curse, or that is following anyone that is so accursed. I pray that that is not the case with you and your heart, and with your life and with your soul. If you're here tonight, though, and you're not a Christian, not a child of God, I pray that this will be the night you as an individual render obedience to the gospel. And maybe you've been one that hasn't been keeping the commandments. Maybe has been preaching another gospel, been a partner to those in error. Why don't you make that right and correct that? Don't be accursed, be approved tonight. You can be in repentance. We encourage you, if you stand condemned, if you stand cut off and stand accursed, remember, God said it, not us. And we urge you to repent. Why don't you be humble enough to do that? Why don't you have faith enough to do it, courage enough to do it, and to do it now while we stand and while we sing? When